You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp all went down today.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, and yet my Tinder profile has never been hotter.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Tinder, isn't that some sort of sex website? Isn't that what that is, Tinder?
Website? It's a dating
what is
site.
It?
I don't know. I've never actually seen it. I know what it is, kind of, sort of.
Isn't like OnlyFans, isn't that a sex website too?
No.
You sure?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, let's
move on. I'm sort of out of touch.
Yeah, you are.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Cardinals beat the Rams, the Cowboys continue to roll, and the Sox and Yanks win the American League wildcards. But we begin today with Brady and Belichick. The most anticipated regular season game in New England football history was played last night in a steady rain. The prodigal son, Tom Brady, returned to Foxborough and led his new team on a late drive to narrowly beat his old team as millions waited to see who would get the best of whom. Wilbon, who should feel better about the outcome, Brady or Belichick?
I don't know. And most importantly, I don't care. I didn't care about that game. People can overstate the game. The game was nice. It's a nice game. Had some tension. It wasn't compelling. Let's not make it week 15 with a playoff spot on the line. It wasn't. I don't care about that. I care about the conversation that took place afterward. When Bill Belichick was seen walking into the visitors' locker room and guys went, oh, my God. That's all I care about. I cared about the pregame, and Brady went out there apparently later than he ever gets on the field because he probably, I'm presuming now, just didn't want to be bothered with all the emotional stuff afterward, you know, which he talked about with Michelle Tafoya. He hinted at that and said essentially with a smile, Michelle, you're not going to make me cry. I'm not going to do this. I've done it already. And then the hugs. You know, I mean, it meant something to see how long he lingered specifically with each person. And you could tell how important that person was to Brady's football life, maybe more than that, by how long he hugged them and whether they whispered in each other's ear and the fake phony hug with Belichick on the field. But then in the locker room, this conversation with Belichick, that's what I care about. I don't care about this game. That's for people in Tampa and New England, not for the rest of us, the game.
So there were two things I cared about. I did care who won the game. I did. And I thought that, you know, if you were a New England fan and you took the 4.5 points that came to you, you won. Even though Tampa Bay won very narrowly.
So that's for their team.
Well, no, Mike, nobody just cares only what you care about. Other people care about other things. And New England fans could get almost a win in that. And then I cared about what happened after the game when they saw each other. And it was very Belichickian to me in the sense that it was a very perfunctory hug that you might give your third cousin at a wedding.
Phony baloney
hug. I was pleased to learn that Belichick sought Brady out in the locker room afterwards. I don't know what was said. I don't think I will ever know. But I was pleased about that. To answer the question, I actually think that Belichick got more out of this than Brady. Brady did not have a particularly good game. Brady, in the first half, was overthrowing everybody. Maybe it was the rain. Maybe he was amped up. I'm not sure. He got out of there narrowly, and I think he's grateful to get out of there narrowly, whereas Belichick's team played really well. They had a great defense. They kept the game very, very close. They may have found a quarterback, not necessarily a successor to Brady, but Mac Jones played very well. And I thought Belichick got everything out of it to win. And I thought that the rain, because I'm a lit major, I thought the rain was perfect and it was an omen. And it was going to say to Tom Brady when he walked out on the field, you're not going to light up the sky. The sky can't be lit up tonight. We got rain on you, pal. Rain on your parade. And so for me, it was more meaningful than obviously for you.
Yes. And by the way, do I need to quote the great Herm Edwards to you? I'm sorry. Bill Belichick got something out of this. A guy who wears 6 Super Bowl rings. No, guys like him and Greg Popovich and that Phil Jackson, they don't get jack out of losing a game, ever. We talk to them. We know. Well, Bill Belichick didn't get squad douche out of that game.
He lost the game.
That's all Bill Belichick cares about.
I understand that, Mike. You know, I'm looking at nuance and subtlety in a larger picture, and I think that he got something out of this because Tom Brady didn't beat him down. And if that kick was 2 feet to the right,
it
might have gone over.
Yeah, then
they might have won the game.
Then he got something out of it. As it stands, let's move to your Super Bowl team getting beat down. Stuffing's beat out by my Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray was an efficient 24-32 for 268. Two touches, no picks. While the Rams' offense, it wasn't terrible, but it looked pedestrian for the first time all season. Tone, what does this result do to your assessment of your Super Bowl pick and the NFC West?
Okay, so I'm sitting here now, and I'm admitting I got to eat it right now today. I have to, because I was trumpeting the fact that the Rams were going to be in the Super Bowl, and Matthew Stafford was great, and he was to that point, and they were to that point. They were 3-0, and he had 9 touchdown passes and 1 interceptions. And they got that Arizona went there and beat them, okay, pounded them. I think it was 37-13 at one point in the fourth quarter. This is a beatdown. So if I have to reassess, I will reassess to say that right now today, a lot of weeks to go, 12 to go, but right now today, Arizona is the best team in the best conference in the National Football League. And I would further reassess in this way, Mike. Jimmy Garoppolo went out again.
Yeah.
That guy is fragile.
That was more important.
He's fragile. Yeah. He's out again. And Seattle beat them. Right now, I would have San Francisco at the bottom of that particular division.
Yeah.
And Seattle with a chance on Thursday night, a game that feels like it's going to be great. Seattle at home against the Rams.
Yeah.
They could establish themselves. They could pass the Rams.
You don't have to eat it. And there's no reason to reassess anything because it's week 4. Okay, and so we're not going to be, as I say every week, we're not going to be like the other shows. We're not going to make the grandest of pronouncements after week 4. The Rams will be fine. I think this was good for the Rams because everybody, starting with this show and you, was singing their praises and they needed to get knocked back on their heels a little bit, Tone. It's one game in division. They get them again, albeit in the desert as opposed to in L.A., Kyler Murray was terrific yesterday. He was.
Yes.
That whole team was what it needed to be. And so they were impressive. Am I now going to make them the prohibitive favorites to win the NFC? No, I'm not going there. I'm impressed with the Cardinals. You know, the fact that they won that game on the road the way they did with the Rams riding high, very impressive. Don't take the plate of crow and slide it away. You don't need to deal with that yet.
No.
It's too early for mea culpas.
Okay. A couple of things should be said. 3 games in a row for the Rams are Tampa Bay, Arizona, and Seattle.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's as hard as you're going to get. And this victory by Arizona was every bit as impressive as the Rams over Tampa Bay, and probably more so because it was on the road.
Agreed.
Because it was on the road. And Kyler Murray, you cannot take your eyes off him.
We move on.
Wilbon, you didn't think we wouldn't do baseball, did you?
No,
you were right all along. It's the Yankees and the Red Sox in a wild card.
Mr. I-95
The Yankees
right here.
Got a walk-off infield. They got a walk-off infield hit by Aaron Judge to beat Tampa. 1-0 to qualify. And the Red Sox got the gift that never stops giving, the awful Nationals bullpen, that allowed them to turn a 5-1 deficit, boom, wink of an eye, into a 7-5 win. They're in. Left out of Toronto with 91 wins and Seattle with 90. Wilbon, is this the best possible result or kind of a letdown?
Letdown. I mean, letdown. I'm not let down. I want to see Yanks, Sox. No, there's no letdown. Toronto and Seattle, they had their chances. They came close. Seattle, I mean, that's sort of a gag loss yesterday because for a while, Tony, it looked like Seattle was going to be in because the Yankees couldn't score at 0-0. And I called you and I said, look at this. And the Nats are up 5-1. I mean, you know, you threw down the cautionary trump card while we were on the phone. And so, no, it's not disappointing. As a matter of fact, good. Enough. I don't want to see, you know, tiebreakers to be tiebreakers. Enough. Single elimination. No. Get on with the damn playoffs. It's October already. We're several days into October. Yankees, Red Sox is a fine way to start it. And then to come back with Cardinals and Dodgers on Wednesday, my God, what four teams in terms of history do you want in the mix more so than those four? Yes, I'd like the Cubs, but even I got to acknowledge those four are the deal.
So I'm a little disappointed because I would have liked a four-team playoff. And exactly what you're saying, at 0-0 late in the Yankees game and in the sixth inning with Boston down 5-1, I thought there was that possibility.
Looked like it.
As you review this thing, you have to mention Eric Fetty coming right in and giving up every run humanly possible for the Nats to lose. But you're right. Toronto had its chances. They swept Baltimore at the end, which is a lot better than the Red Sox did. But that Robbie Ray start against the Yankees, that did them
the
in.
Difference.
And
yes.
Seattle had no game yesterday. I'm good with the Yanks and the Sox.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. If you want to talk about the NFL West, NFC West being good, how about the AL East?
Yeah.
Four teams with 91 or more wins. And, Mike, the way the schedule is now, the uneven schedule, that means that every one of those four teams had to play 57 games, more than a third of the season, against teams with 91 or more wins. So if you get in, you've earned it. Right?
You've earned it. Who doesn't want the result we've got with those four wildcard teams the next Tuesday, Wednesday? If you don't want that, get out.
That's right. That's right. Let's take a break, but coming up, the Cowboys hand the Panthers their first loss of the season. Is it time to take Dallas seriously? Don't we do this every week?
Yeah, time to overreact for most people. And how should the Jets and the Bears feel about their rookie QBs after yesterday?
Nats gave up 5 runs in 3 innings.
They were pathetic.
5 runs?
They're pathetic.
Oh.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
To Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
For some reason, you have decided that we are the right people to address your issues.
Nah.
So let me see what's first.
We're never the right people for that.
Is it time to take the Cowboys seriously?
No. No, what month is it? Huh? It's barely October. The Cowboys have done all kinds of wonderful things in the PTI era, meaning 20 years, they were fine to notice and point out and maybe even celebrate from time to time in October and November and every now and then December. But what the hell happens to the Cowboys in the PTI era? By the time we get to January, they implode. They go south. They look like the Cowboys of recent vintage, which is to say junk. So why am I going to pay special attention to the Cowboys the first Sunday in October? Are you going to do that? Because I'm not.
I am. I would say emphatically yes. I would say that the Cowboys are a lot better than I thought. Dak Prescott is a lot better than I thought. He's got 10 touchdown passes and only 2 interceptions. He's got the second highest completion percentage in the whole league at 75%. They look to me like, you know, a top 10 team right now. I'm not going to go any further than that. And by the way, they've beaten some good teams, Mike. They've beaten the Chargers, the Eagles, and the Panthers. That's not the Falcons and the Jaguars. I mean, maybe Carolina was suspect at 3-0. Maybe they're not as good as we thought, but they're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
So I would say that at the moment, the Cowboys are, they're not going to just scrape by and make the playoffs. They're a good team.
Really?
I'm not going any
How do
further,
we know that?
They're a good team.
Because they scrape by every year, and some years they don't make the playoffs. What? I'm sorry.
They pay me to know.
How many times have
they
you praised the Cowboys in October
they
in
pay
the
me
past
to know.
20 years?
And I know. They could be 4-0. They could be 4-0. They're 2 points down to Tampa Bay. They could be 4-0.
You crown them.
Who should be feeling better about what their rookie quarterback did, the Jets or the Bears?
The Bears beat the Lions. The Lions are the worst team in the NFL. I think the Lions are worse than the Jaguars. I mean, they both have had moments where they looked competitive in-game, but that's not what happened ultimately. The Detroit Lions, Tony, are the – you can make the case, and I'll make it – they're the worst team in North American sports historically. So in the past 60 years, I say the Lions are that. And so yesterday I'm watching this. I'm watching my guy, young Justin Fields. I'm glad he had a nice game. You know, I think he was 11 of 17. He threw a pick that was tipped. It wasn't really his fault. He played well enough to get them a win over the worst team. So I'm going to go with your guy. I'm going to go with the Jets, the J-E-T-S quarterback, who has a nice arm at least.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you with Zach Wilson. They beat a playoff team, a consistent playoff team, Tennessee. They went to overtime and they beat them.
Road.
In the second half alone, Zach Wilson passed for 232 yards. Two touchdowns. He had a quarterback rating of 129.4, and he dropped one right down the chimney to Corey Davis. I agree with this.
The Jets were at home. He probably didn't get booed yesterday either.
I'll give you another reason that he was better.
What?
This is his fourth start. It's only Justin Fields' second start. The more starts you get, the better you can look. Look at Justin Herbert last year, 1-9 at one point, and then finished up well.
I want to see what Justin Fields does against the Raiders, and I'll be there in person for that. This Sunday.
Any problem with the Ravens going for the rushing record instead of kneeling down?
Tony, in real time, I don't think I was aware of this because it didn't seem like, you know, the word record. You know, we got two generations of people in this business who call everything a record. It's just a first. It's not really a record. But 100 yards or more in 43 consecutive games. And Harbaugh admitted afterward that this was on him. He wanted his players to have that. He felt they had earned that. That was going to make everybody sort of feel better. And so Fangio was upset about it. I don't know why. They're running the ball. Anything less is only taking a knee. They weren't throwing it around the yard. They weren't running trick plays. They didn't do Jerry Glanville on Sam Weish. This is a much ado about nothing. And it's not a record. It's a first.
Well, I think that they tie the record, and if they get another one, they will actually have the record. I thought it was sort of high schoolish when I saw it. I was watching on the red zone, and everybody just assumed that they would kneel down, and then I read Fangio's comments that he thought it was rinky-dink. But John Harbaugh has owned this. John Harbaugh said this is completely his idea to get those few remaining yards, and I will say this. It's 43 games, Mike. That's almost three full seasons. If you are going to use that phrase to build an identity or build a culture, that's what they've done there. So I understand why that's important to Harbaugh, but I will say this. If he'd gotten a guy hurt, I'd be slamming him today.
And that
he
would
didn't
be,
do it.
That would be fair, Tony, but he didn't get a guy hurt.
That's
it was,
right.
It was just a little more than taking a knee. It really was. And consider the source. There are people who have earned it who don't just have clown behavior. Harbaugh is not a guy guilty of year after year of clown behavior. So I think it
Enough
makes all the
issues.
Difference in the world.
Let's take one last break, but still to come, the Raiders and the Chargers get ready to take the field from Monday Night Football. Wilbon will pick the winner.
Yeah, I don't know that Wilbon cares about the winner. And you'll notice I'm not wearing an Ole Miss jersey today because Alabama beat them down. No jersey.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
They'll be airing it out at SoFi tonight. Our guys are in the action. I'm talking about
Look at the way he holds
Let's
it.
Let's go.
Adam, we'll see you for countdown at the top
Adam,
of the hour.
3 points.
Go back.
3 points of pressure. 3 points.
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 77th birthday, Tony La Russa. When La Russa was named manager of the White Sox last fall, there was considerable criticism of the move. La Russa was feared to be too old and out of touch with today's players, and his personal behavior was held under a spotlight. But the White Sox won their division by the widest margin in the majors, and La Russa became a father figure, if not a grandfather figure, to his players. He's been manager of the year 4 different times with 3 different teams, the White Sox in 83, the A's in 88 and 92, and the Cardinals in 2002. He's already in the Hall of Fame, so winning another World Series won't get him there.
Yeah, but he and Dusty Baker, the Sunshine Boys, Tone, managers in their 70s, going against each other in the playoffs. This is going to be sort of fun to watch, isn't it?
I agree with that. Happy anniversary, Archie Manning. On this day 52 years ago, the father of Peyton and Eli and the grandfather of quarterback Uber prospect Arch became the first college player to throw for 300 yards and rush for 100 in the same game as Ole Miss came up just short in a 33-32 loss at Alabama. Archie passed for 436 yards and 2 touchdowns and rushed for 104 yards and 3 more. That was one of 4 losses to Alabama for the Manning family, but they won 7 times. Archie was 2-1. Eli was 2-2 at Ole Miss. Peyton was 3-1 at Tennessee.
I mean, Tony, Alabama wasn't on one of those great, long, historic runs when those guys got them. But if you can beat Alabama, you can come out on top of Alabama at any point in your lives, and generational, that's pretty cool.
Happy trails to Clayton Kershaw and Max Muncy. The Dodgers have lost 2 of their biggest stars as the playoffs begin. Dodgers' longtime ace Kershaw again felt discomfort in his left forearm, an injury that sidelined him for 5 weeks in August and September. Kershaw likely out for the postseason. Muncy, who leads the Dodgers in home runs with 36 and RBI with 94, is out of the wild card game against St. Louis after being run into at first base yesterday while awaiting a throw. Muncy hurt his elbow and left the game. Dodgers are in the wild card game because although they closed the season 18-3, they couldn't catch the Giants, who closed 17-5.
Yeah, and they're both sort of behind St. Louis, who at one point, Tone, won 19-20. I know they lost a couple at the end there. They just sort of dumped them to the Cubs. The Dodgers, how should they feel going into this, given how hot they were the last 21 games? Now they got injuries, they're playing the wild card game. Sort of difficult, isn't it?
Feel confident. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's
Urban Meyer apologized to the Jaguars after being a distraction, after being filmed at his restaurant in Columbus. Your thoughts?
I didn't think this was a big deal when I first heard it, but Tony seems to be gathering some momentum, and now a lot of people are calling for Urban Meyer's head. The Chiefs stopped their 2-game losing streak by beating the Eagles. Is that a big deal?
It's a big deal because they've been in the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, yeah. Georgia blanked Arkansas. Blanked?
No.
Impressed?
They swallowed Arkansas whole. That's what they did. Cincinnati, Desmond Ritter beat Notre Dame. Is that significant?
Yeah, a lot of good teams lost. Oregon went down. Florida went down. Yeah, it's significant. Last one, Raiders and Chargers tonight. Who you got?
This should be a good matchup, Tony. I'm interested in it. I'm going to take the Chargers. You know, I'm going to take the Chargers. I know the Raiders have looked very good so far this season. I'm going to go Chargers with a slight upset. I'm sure you've got the line. I don't have that at my disposal.
Chargers look very good, too.
They have.
Don't diss the line. This company's in line business. Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Now to get you set for Monday Night Football, here's Susie Colbert and the Countdown Crew.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.